We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that, you know?
I like it.
Here's Zion to the bucket. DiVincenzo guarding Zion. Here's ball for Williamson, who stuffs. Bucks by one. I know there are a lot of folks in the Midwest as Zion is able to take to the rim.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Zion Williamson, a phenom in the NBA and in the NBA Top Shot world. What is NBA Top Shot? It's an excellent question. I've been learning about it over the last couple of weeks. I'm late for the party, but if you guys don't know about it, it's totally fine. The vast majority of the people don't know about it, and even the people who say they know about it, frankly, don't seem to really understand what the hell it is either, which is why we're going to go out to the Alphamonte Nissan Hotline, Alphamonte Nissan in Melrose Park, and welcome on one of the best follows in the sports gambling space. He goes by at Sports Cheetah, cheetah like the animal. Preston Johnson is our guest. He's a pro sports bettor and a media personality. He will be hosting the NBA League Pass's weekly sports betting stream tonight and going forward. So the dude's going mainstream. And Preston, kind enough to join us here on The Score to talk about NBA Top Shot, which has been attracting traders, daily fantasy millionaires, big-time sports bettors, and now a bunch of novice people who are jumping in as well. Preston, thank you so much for the time, man. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm excited to be on to talk some Top Shot.
Awesome, man. So can you explain, assume the audience has no idea what NBA Top Shot is. Explain it in as simple of terms as possible.
Yeah, I think the easiest comparison and one that everyone else will make is people are familiar with sports cards, the physical cards that have also boomed in the last couple of years that people collect. And this is ultimately a version that lives as a highlight on, you know, your own kind of verified account, which is built on blockchain technology, which you don't need to know what blockchain technology is necessarily, but it's secure and it's verifiable. And it makes the convenience of trading or buying these moments a lot easier than physical cards. And the highlights and the moments, they call them, are actually just really cool too, whether it be a Zion block or dunk or a Ja Morant dunk or a LeBron Kobe tribute dunk. Like, they're pretty cool. When you're trying to sell cards now, if you're trying to get them graded because you have something valuable, it takes 6 to 7 months to get that back. All right. And then you have to decide what you're going to sell it for. You give it to eBay and they take 12%, and then you have to package it and then mail it out to whoever it is. It's just really not logistically functional anymore. And this solves that problem. And I think just in general, kind of this digital age of things becoming more online is only going to keep growing. And now you have the NBA and the players surrounding this Top Shot boom. Like, I think it's here to stay. I know people think maybe they're too late, but I really just don't see it.
Okay, so these are they're highlights. They're digital trading cards. They're numbered. There's scarcity, right? So there certainly is less supply than demand right now. So that's a simple economic principle. But why do you think these things have value when I could watch the Zion Williamson dunk, block, Ja Morant highlight, whatever it is, on YouTube?
So the comparison for that everyone has been giving out that I think also is perfect is, why would I buy, you know, LeBron James PSA 10 and a slab and put in a safe or a cardboard box in my house when I could print it out and look at it on a piece of paper? You know, like, yes, you could watch the same highlight on YouTube, but you don't actually own it. And when you're getting these, and you mentioned the scarcity and the serial numbers, just like people that follow cards will know, if you get like a number 1 out of 5 or a jersey number out of 199 or a holographic or whatever it may be, those refractors, like those have more value. Or if it's a rookie, it has more value. These highlights are kind of traded and marketed the same way. And so, yeah, you could watch it, but it doesn't mean you own it. And ultimately, it is supply demand. And there are people out there that want to invest in things outside of, you know, the U.S. dollar, which, and I don't want to get too much into finance, I'm not an expert there, but in 2020, over 70% of the U.S. dollar that was printed was just in that year. That exists. 70% of the existence of U.S. dollars printed in 1 year. So you've seen real estate prices go up, gold, Bitcoin, other assets, just the stock market in general has just gone up because people are putting their dollars into other things. And digital, you know, collectibles is just one of those spaces that's growing, and that's where Top Shot ultimately lives.
And so, in terms of NBA Top Shot, can you give people some nuts and bolts on either your own personal experiences in terms of cards that you've bought and sold, or some of the high profile stories so they can understand what type of money we're talking about here?
Sure, I can. So personally, I was fortunate to get in, you know, nearly 7 weeks ago now, which it really started booming like mid to late January. And then there's been that second wave of boom in February. But it was nice because when you used to be able to go on the site, which is still in beta, by the way, they blew up way quicker than they were anticipating and really could hold. You could buy packs of these highlights and these cards, we'll call them, at will. I could buy 10, 20, 30, 40, as many as I wanted, which I was doing as I was trying to familiar myself with the website. And then was Jonathan Bales writes an article about how he bought a $35,000 Ja Morant highlight, and the article kind of booms the site. It starts crashing. They sell out of packs instantly, and the site wasn't working. So now it's a lot tougher. But my recommendation would be this for people that are trying to start. Like even today, they did a drop of some new packs that were pretty valuable. But generally, they have these packs that are as cheap as $9. And since the demand is so high, they randomize a line. So you're put in a queue and it's fine. It's free. Just join. And then you get in line. If you're one of the first 5,000 or 10,000, you get a pack and you can kind of experiment and experience what Top Shot's all about for as cheap as like $9 or $14 for these packs. Now, the actual marketplace where you can buy individual moments, like, you know, outside of packs where you've seen some of these huge sales, like a Zion that's gone for 100,000 plus. There was a LeBron a few days ago that went for $208,000. Like those you're doing, you know, through the marketplace. You're going to have to, you know, need bigger pockets for that. But the people that have asked me about it in the last few days, my main thing is just start like you would physical trading cards. Try to get some packs for cheap that you know you can get a good return on, because there's so many people trying to get them. They don't have enough. So hopefully you get lucky and you can pull something out of those. I know someone, his first time ever on the platform today, pulled a Zion numbered 2 out of 499. It's probably worth six figures. And it's his first time he's ever even got a pack. And so those stories exist. It happens. But you know, if you are a fan of a certain team, if you are a fan of rookies, like there's different approaches and pathways to getting involved, and you can do it, you know, for a relatively cheap price still via packs and some of the smaller name players.
So we're talking to pro sports bettor Preston Johnson here about NBA Top Shot, which, again, if you're just joining us and we have texters coming in right now, I have no clue what the hell this guy is talking about. Again, these are, it's a hard concept, right? Like if I tried to explain this to my father, why a video highlight that is numbered and serialized on this website is worth $208,000, he would think I'm certifiably insane. But you've laid it out very clearly for people who are following along. And many people also feel like this is either a bubble that will burst or a scam. I feel like, just as someone relatively new to this, man, if Mark Cuban's tweeting about it and the players are tweeting about it and the NBA has officially licensed this thing, I don't feel like this bubble bursts in 3 months. Like it feels like something that's going to be around for a while. In your opinion, what is the significance of this being officially licensed and backed by the NBA?
This is a great question. And so, yeah, I think this is perfect to hit on, because is it a scam? No, it's not a scam. Could it be a bubble? It absolutely could be, just like a lot of other things in the world that could be investments you think have high upside and this could end up dying off. It's possible. But let me tell you this. You're just like, what's going on? Like, how is this a thing? The video highlight, why does it even have value? Like Josh Hart's been doing Twitch streams with Damian Lee and Tyrese Halliburton and some other players opening packs live on his Twitch stream with thousands of fans. Like just the like value of like fan connectivity and interaction is like taking this to another world where you're actually owning highlights of your favorite players and you're talking about them on Twitch and you're in the chat and the players. Example, Damian Lee shouted out at Terry Rozier earlier today and said, instead of trading jerseys tonight after the game, let's swap Top Shot moments. And they're going to do it. Terry Rozier is like, I'm in. What's your username? And so the players, it's just so much to like the gamified aspect and monetization of it as a whole that I think there's going to be value and the bubble probably won't burst. And the other reason, if you want to get into the financial side, look, a week ago, they closed a $250 million funding deal with some of the most successful VCs at a $2 billion valuation. And then you have all the players surrounding it, who, by the way, the Players Association gets a small piece of the revenue of all of the revenue that Top Shot makes. And so the players actually are incentivized to build it up and to be involved. It just, it's a win for everyone involved. Like if you can have four or five wins, the company, the product, I just think it's going to succeed. And ultimately, you know, that's good for people that can still get involved now, because you're right, 99.99% of people still haven't even heard about Top Shot.
So I tried today, and there were 10,000 of these packs that were dropping. There were, I saw over 175,000 people in line. As you mentioned, there's the queue, and it was randomized, and I got spot 93,000 and something. So I did not get one of these packs today, but I'm on the list, so I will continue to sign up for these pack drops. And my question is, they delayed the last drop because of bots. And there's some complaints of people not being able to sign up or get money out. And as you mentioned, it's still in its beta testing form. Like, how ripe for corruption is this, for lack of a better term, with the regulation and what we know about it at this point?
So what's nice in general about that corruption or fraud aspect is that kind of where the blockchain technology solidifies the product. Like, no one's going to be able to go in there and try to take moments or do something funky out of accounts, because they quite literally live on an address on your wallet chain, like your personalized wallet address. It says these are the moments for this. And if there's a transaction, it moves to the other person's wallet address and it shows that you got the money for it. Now, you're right. The Dapper Labs is the company that runs it. They blew up so quickly, they've had trouble getting the know your customer verification for that. Like, if you wanted to play a DraftKings or FanDuel a couple of years ago when they started booming, you had to fill out a know your customer and get verified before you could make a withdrawal. It's the same thing here. Before you can withdraw your money, they need to make sure you are who you say you are to try to avoid some of the fraud that could be a potential, or people pretending they're other people, right? Once you're verified, you can withdraw from the site. I know people that have withdrew from the site. It's been fine. And you can do it whether you're tech savvy and you want to do it in crypto, or you can do it, you know, to a bank account that you link if you're using a credit card to buy these, just like you would anything online. So it's actually extremely safe, I think, in that regard. And yeah, maybe there are some bots out there, but I think it was ultimately bad press that they had to postpone that drop. You're right. But doing it to avoid bots ruining the product and the chances of the other people, the audience, of getting a pack, I think it was good that they postponed today and made sure that they had, you know, things there on top of them.
So we're talking to Preston Johnson at Sports Cheetah on Twitter. He's a great follow in the sports gambling space, and he's doing media, and he's going to be on the gambling simulcast for the NBA League Pass game tonight. And he's talking to us about NBA Top Shot, which is, some people have called it Bitcoin for the NBA. It's basically, you own these digital cards. I'm just trying to catch people up and recap here, Preston. And
sure,
they're numbered, serial numbered. It's through the blockchain, and you get these drops, and they're worth an insane amount of money, basically because people have decided that it is supply and demand, that entire thing. So Mike, I guess, where do you think it goes? Because as people are pointing out on the text line, you don't actually own it, in that you could still watch the clip on YouTube. We already covered that with the sports card thing. Are they going to flood the market? Or like, what do you think NBA Top Shot looks like 6 months from now?
I think they're going to keep pushing it. You might even see stuff in the All-Star weekend coming up in the NBA. They have a new series called Run It Back. In series two are these like kind of limited inserts of old school retired players. I know Shaquille O'Neal is going to be in it. I believe Allen Iverson. So you'll have some of that vibe, where it's not always just players in their moments from the current season. And really, their inventory is endless, right? Like, they have all these clips. They could do stuff from the slam dunk contest if they wanted. They could, you know, start releasing those. It can go anywhere. in 6 months, I think that's a fair question, right? There's probably going to be other people trying to do a similar thing. Do they want to explore other leagues? There's been rumors that they're talking with the NFL and Major League Baseball, and we'll see how much they focus and key in on the NBA rather than trying to build out into other spaces. But my personal opinion is that it's going to be very similar, and you have to be very thoughtful with your strategy when you approach this, like sports cards. Like, it's nice to have a TJ McConnell, but like, also, is he really going to be worth a ton of money in a couple of years or even 6 months? Probably not. Are those values of those types of players in the league on Top Shot right now high? Yeah, they're probably too high. But the Zion, the Ja Morant, a Nikola Jokic just got sold yesterday for $55,000. The LeBrons, the rookies that pan out, whether it's LaMelo or Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, like, they probably have a ton of upside and will carry value, and that value may even go higher here in the short term. I would just be very careful about your approach. For one, just it is risky and it's your own money. But two, make sure you're trying to, you know, key in on guys that you love to root for, that you think are up and coming. Like, I bought a lot of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander cards a year ago, knowing that Chris Paul was probably going to get dealt and he'd be the guy this year. And, you know, those have gone up in value. So it's just kind of that strategy of market and knowing the NBA, and it kind of is related to fantasy and that type of stuff that I think if you do a good job with that, you'll do a good job here, and you'll probably, you know, your stuff's going to appreciate over time.
It's basically the stock market for basketball players in the form of digital assets and highlights, right?
Bang. Yep. That's it.
It's so crazy, man. And it does now feel repeatable. Like, if this works, and because what I was talking about with a buddy of mine who's a trader is, he's like, you and I can think this is dumb, but enough people have assigned value to it that there is now money to be made here. And why wouldn't it be replicable in baseball and football and other sports that have huge young fan bases with money?
It would be, as long as the, you know, Top Shot Dapper Labs, who's behind it, gets permission and, you know, is licensed to do so and is exclusive, which is fortunate. What's interesting, if people didn't know this, the NBA actually approached Dapper Labs in 2018. The NBA wanted to get integrated in the digital space. They kind of saw where things were heading. They're very forward thinking, and not to hash on the NFL or the MLB, but the NBA's kind of been ahead in a few things in that regard. And then sure enough, it took about a year to build this, and they put together and released it near the end of last year. But like, this is the NBA's kind of project. This is their baby. And so the fact that they're ahead, I think that they're going to be first. It's going to be the biggest. But as soon as other leagues realize the revenue they're generating and how much, like, 50 million in sales per day over a couple, you know, 24-hour periods of time, you can follow and track the stats. Like, it's just absurd. And if the NBA is, you know, getting 2.5 to 5% of that a day, you know, this turns into 250 million to billion a year. And if you look at some of their TV deals, they're like similar numbers. And this is just, you know, a site of people trading and transacting highlights. Like, it makes too much sense for the other leagues not to eventually get involved.
Last thing, you know, when I would collect cards back in the day, you'd have your booklet or you'd bring them to school and you'd trade them and you could show them off. And so that was part of the value, even if that wasn't like quantifiable in terms of, you know, money back when you're in fourth grade or something like that. Like, you talk about these players trading Top Shot moments. So I know that there's a marketplace, which is like their answer to eBay, where you could put it up for sale and someone can buy it and then they own that thing. But like, is there a way to show off your assets with, like, is that part of it too? Like, hey, look, I own a Zion and a Ja and a LaMelo and that sort of thing. Like, is that part of it as well? Kind of like the bragging nature of it?
Totally. I think that's kind of the case with collectibles as like a psychology in general. Like, why do people care and pay so much for art? Like, I'm not much of an art guy. I really am not. I don't really get it, but I love sports and I get that. And I feel cool if I own these moments or I own these cards, and that'll definitely play a part. And if you have, like, you can just tell your friends, you know, we're talking the younger generation down the road here, hey, this is my username on Top Shot. You can check out what I have. Like, let's work out a deal, or I want more like Alex Caruso in my portfolio. And like, it can be anything, and people can have fun with it. And I'll tell you this one thing to kind of wrap up the whole sentiment, because you mentioned like, this sounds crazy. Someone told me about it about a week before I ever actually dug in, and it probably cost me like 20x on my portfolio that week. I clicked the link. I saw something about a highlight that you could buy, and I closed the tab all in about 12 seconds, and I didn't look again for about 7 or 8 days, and that cost me like 20x. And so I had the same initial thoughts and sentiments. I really did. But once you start getting involved, you try to get the packs, you start getting moments, you start trading, you start listing. It's so fun. It's part of it is just being a fan and the ownership, like you're talking about, where it's just cool to be involved.
But you don't think people are too late to the party right now?
I just don't. $250 million at a $2 billion valuation from some of the most successful VCs in America, and they're still in beta, and the players are starting to swap moments, and they're doing Twitch streams and opening up packs and chatting with fans and doing giveaways. Like, it's just booming, man. I really don't. And I can obviously be wrong. I've been wrong a lot because I go on record. I've been at ESPN the last few years making picks on, you know, shows. Like, I've been wrong a ton, but this is a good bet, I think, still long-term. Just bet on it within your means, obviously, and there is some risk. But worst case, you're betting on your favorite players and guys you think are up and coming, and treat it like a marketplace. And it's the NBA. And if you're a hoops guy, like, for me, ball is life. Like, I'm all in. I love it.
Preston Johnson at Sports Cheetah on Twitter. Good luck with the live stream, man. And it's been fun to watch you grow. I've been following you on Twitter for a long time. So thank you for the time. It's good to finally talk to you on the air.
Right on. I appreciate it, man. You guys take it easy.
Thank you. That's Preston Johnson. And I can hear the confusion in the audience. I can. I get it. It's weird. Why is owning a digital highlight that's numbered, that you can watch for free elsewhere, worth $200,000? Because supply and demand says so. Think about what I said. Today there were $99 packs that were dropped. They announced the time, you know, a couple days before. 175,000 user accounts signed up to get 10,000 packs. And this thing is still just in its beta form. Imagine if you could go back to 2017 and put $1,000 into Bitcoin. And I'm not telling you to do it, by the way. I know many people who think this is a bubble and the dumbest thing in the world and going to blow up. And I have put exactly $0 of my money into this. So I have no idea if it's going to work or not. I'm obviously not a financial advisor. No, they're not paying anybody to talk about this or anything like that. I legitimately have no idea if it'll work. But I've started reading about it the last couple of weeks, and what he's saying about the dollar is true. And if you've looked at real estate prices, the cost of art, the cost of sports cards, any sort of exclusive place to put money for your assets, they're all going straight up. Bitcoin has been ripping. Chainlink, ripping. ETH, ripping. It's just, it's a wild time, man. And the NBA, Mark Cuban, the top dudes in the sport, they all are endorsing this thing. The NBA is not going to let this thing fail in 2 months. They're way too invested in it. So think about it like trading cards, except online. And then think about it like the stock market. And even if you don't understand the technology, I think that gives you a decent framework for what's going on here. But this is a huge story, and it's only going to get bigger. Shane, do you understand it after that 15 minutes?
Absolutely not. I do not, Diddy.
Okay, cool. I didn't think so. Texter says this is the sports cards of the future. That's what they're going for. That's exactly what they're going for. Because you get sports cards, right? Did you collect sports cards as a kid?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, my dad did the standard thing, handed me down a collection. I think at one point I had every player from every team, like the mid-70s through the 90s.
Yeah, so I find it fascinating, even if I don't fully understand it, because you can't argue with the money. Like, that money that is being traded is real. Those people who are endorsing it are real. The backing is real. So, and I love sports and I love basketball. So, like, I am absolutely going to be spending some more time in the next couple of weeks looking into this. Like, if you think Patrick Williams is going to be the next Kawhi Leonard, that'd be a good buy right now. It's just weird, man. It's completely weird. But I find it fascinating. So it's called NBA Top Shot. We can discuss. Also, Bulls and Suns play tonight. And I want to kind of go back to a little bit of that Tim Anderson conversation with you guys and share something personal that my therapist told me coming up on The Score.
Harkins and Spiegel Show Flashback. Flashback.
Tim Anderson back on The Score. You're the most honest athlete in Chicago. Who cares? If they blog about it, if they podcast about it, if they tweet about it, who cares, man? Just say what you feel. You're the best team in the American League.
Yeah, we the best team in the American League.
My man. I mean, we can't say the F word on the radio, but other than that.
Sorry, everybody that's listening. Sorry.
That's what we call a leading question, ladies and gentlemen. But it's a good headline. Was it not? Have you ever seen, you guys watched Last Week Tonight with John Oliver?
No.
Neither of you? Awesome. Well.
No, I'm not one of them lefties.
He's hilarious. But they do recap sometimes of 60 Minutes questions where they will have the 60 Minutes correspondent being like, and that was a problem. And then the guest goes, it was a problem. And they'll be like, they just repeat back whatever the 60 Minutes correspondent said. So you're the best team in the American League. Yeah, we're the best team in the American League. Oh, good. Headline. Thank you. Thank you for the quote. So it was that interviewing style that led us to that headline. But more importantly, this is a new day for Afternoons at the Score. Shane, plug the Threadless store, please, because we got a shirt up there that's going
to
move.
Yeah, if you go to 670thescore.threadless.com and go to Collections, Park and Spiegel, we already have an F It, We're the Best Team in the American League shirt up there. It's kind of hard to see because it's in white font, so just click on the first one on the left. Or go to my Twitter account, the Park and Spiegel Twitter handle, and I retweeted, I tweeted the link directly to the shirt. It's only like $25 for a high-quality T-shirt, not like a Gildan shirt you'd buy at Walmart or Kmart, like a high-quality vintage-style T-shirt, tri-blend, $25.
You'll see the shirt. The shirt's coming out soon.
Okay. So, F It, we're the best team in the American League.
I'm going to pin it to the Park and Spiegel Twitter account.
Okay, excellent. Put it up there, and we can put it in. I think that that's absolutely fantastic. And if you missed Tim Anderson in its entirety, we will replay it 1 hour from now. I think that is just, that's great, man. That guy is, he is a lot of fun. Man, the Top Shot segment was very polarizing on the text line. What's the thing that you guys, did any of you guys have an idea or see an idea where you're like, man, that is so dumb, and then it ends up being brilliant, or you bet against the company and then the stock went through the roof? Or I know you guys are not like big players of the stock market or anything like that, but I feel like when people heard about Bitcoin is a perfect example. Now one Bitcoin is worth like $50,000, and a few years ago it was worth $4.
Like, you know, I'm not an economics major by any stretch of the imagination, but it's just all about commodity, creating a commodity. And whenever you have a commodity, there's going to be people that are going to have it. When you make scarcity out of the commodity, then interest will go up and people will pay more for it. I see the parallel with sneakers. Like,
yes.
they know people want them. You know, they'll re-release a retro Air Jordan every few years and create a limited amount of stock on them. So it creates buzz, they think. I don't agree. I think people like the shoes, they'll buy them. But some people will pay more, you know, then you get into second market stuff. But they create a scarcity on the product. You buy them on the app and then a limited run and then that's it. And then people can kind of sell them off in the secondary market and double, triple their money. So it's with anything. It doesn't matter what the thing is. Like, it's just, it's American economics, baby. That's all I can say.
Okay, so Tanny, I'm not nearly as big of a sneakerhead as you. And obviously there are way bigger sneakerheads than you. But yes, that's what it felt like today. It felt like when the Space Jams were re-released and every Jordan fan of a certain age had to have them. But if you've ever been on the sneakers app and you've taken that loss, like, oh, the drop's coming at 10 a.m., that's what it was. Today it was at 11 a.m. You were in the queue. They said it's not about first come, first serve. They randomly assign you a spot in line. And I was 93,000 in line.
That sounds like when they were doing the PS5 drop.
Yes.
Like a lot, you know, but I'm in line. I remember when Studs was going through that. He eventually got one, but it was fun to watch him squirm. I'm in line. I'm going to get it today. And then you just see, oh, it's sold out.
Tickle Me Elmo way back in the day, like hot Christmas presents. Yeah, man. It's so bizarre how many people are into it. And I don't know. I don't fully get it, but it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't really matter if you understand it or not. And again, I'm not telling anybody to invest in it or not. I have no clue. I am not a professional investment broker, right? I got no idea. But it's so many things that you can think about were unbelievable buying opportunities. Texter says, I can tell a scam when I hear it. Please don't fall for that stupidity, at least not on the show. All right. what I don't understand about that argument is, do you really think the NBA would, this is officially licensed by the NBA. Like, this is promoted by its players, it's promoted on its television shows, they have investments in it. Do you really think the NBA would risk its global international business for a scam? Why would they do that? It's not like they're hurting for money. I do not believe it's a scam. It might be a bubble. Like, the interest on this might run out. They might run it poorly. There might not be, they might flood the market. Like, it I'm not saying it's guaranteed to work, but it is not a scam.
Is it a grift?
It might be a grift. It could be a grift. But it, and people are like, can you get real money or is it just crypto? No, it's real money. You could buy it with your credit card and then they can credit your account.
All right, but here's the thing. I've been burned before. Like, a few months ago, I had a little bit of extra money, so I went on Facebook Marketplace and I bought like a bunch of something called Beanie Babies, and they were supposed to, the bubble is supposed to hit pretty soon here. And then I've read an article on like New York Times or something like that, that apparently the bubble burst in like 1999.
Yeah, well, that leftist rag led you wrong. The New York Times. That
Facebook.
Was
oh, yeah, well, both.
that was your first mistake. But not, you're a little late to the party with Beanie Babies, but you might not be late to the party with NBA Top Shot. And since Tanny is Dr. NBA and you're Mr. Single Game Parlay, I feel like we could own a couple.
Parlay Prince, by the way.
Parlay Prince. Oh, I apologize. So Dr. NBA and the Parlay Prince. Are we going to do a Bulls Suns parlay tonight then?
We can, yeah. We hit so many.
Let's do it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do it. I like DeAndre Ayton over 14.5 points.
And we're not ready, Danny.
Jesus.
A little TSL here, baby.
Hey, let's do it. Okay, I'm ready. Like, we get it. You love doing the parlay with us because we're a cash cow.
My bad.
Give us some time. So the doctor, doctor doesn't just walk into surgery. Actually, they kind of do. They kind of just walk in.
They're trained. They're classically trained. It's the doctorate that allows them to just walk into surgery, actually.
Exactly.
By the way, people on the text line are saying that the Threadless store, like nationwide, is 50% off today.
Oh.
These are our score ones. So go get yourself an F It, We're the Best Team in the American League shirt for half off.
670thescore.threadless.com.
Collections, Parkinson Spiegel.
Okay. It's all right there for
dot
you.
.com. Dot.
What did you guys think when he said that? Did you get a little fist bump behind the glass? I didn't see.
I mean, I was about to have a heart attack.
Oh, yeah, because he cursed.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of first and foremost.
But you've never hit the dump button before? You're a professional. You know how to reach over there and hit it.
I know, but, you know, it's a high-stakes job over here. I'm not just making T-shirts in the back like you.
every single time.
They call it the plane. I'm flying the plane. That's, you know.
Well, they call that the T-shirt lab back there, that tiny little table with my laptop.
I thought that was the metal shop.
It's very confusing.
It is, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you have to – it was funny. Like, I love that you talked him into saying it because that's a baseball player thing. Like, you know, even if you don't believe it, which I think he does believe it, you speak it into existence. And I love the mentality. Just don't back down from it. Like, you know, you might as well just go all in, you know. And I think that's what's going to be the case with this team this year. They you know, they have to act like they believe it before anyone else will believe it. So, like, I love it. It was great. He's just to see Tim Anderson's, you know, growth as a player, but also just as a media personality from when he first came into the league. It's just really been fun because we have him every year at the start of the year, whether it be at Sox Fest or at spring training or whatever. And it's just hearing him from year to year, being more comfortable, being on the radio, in front of cameras, in the media, it's a cool thing to watch. And I was telling Shane that you followed that trajectory and it's coincided with his development and growth on the field as well. So it had me thinking of, man, could Tim Anderson have an even better year over 162 game, you know, sample size? Like, that's exciting stuff to think about. And, you know, it just, he's come a long way from being that quiet kid that came up in, I think it was 2016 or whatever. And, you know, just you'd have to talk him into playing baseball. He's a basketball player. Now look at him. Like, he's dominating the American League and he's the face of the franchise right now.
Yeah. I love talking to him and I agree with you. He's come a long way in terms of the public perception. And like Spiegel always talks about the human side of it, right? These guys are human beings and the comfort of it matters a lot. And I think for Tim, that he comes across like a very well-rounded human where he has the right perspective of, my motivation is my daughters. If I go 0-for-4, I'm going to make your friend pay for it tomorrow, but it had to be a gift to the pitchers. He loves baseball. He's motivated by baseball, but it's not his whole life. He has other interests. And while he takes it very seriously, he doesn't live and die with it. And that ability to to have that perception or perspective more accurately, that mental space has to allow you to then perform better. Like, if you have that mental freedom to, like, I know I'm good at this, I know why I do it, but I know what really matters, that allows you to just be the best version of yourself on the field. Like, he seems like an athlete who, we were talking about Russell Wilson yesterday, who, is there any phoniness to it? Is he doing a charade? Is it a facade? Whatever it is. And obviously that hasn't hurt Russell Wilson's ability to perform on the football field, but, like, Tim Anderson is the genuine article. You get the impression that that dude in the clubhouse, on the field, with Tony La Russa, with his partner, with his daughters, with the media, with whomever, he is the same. And that is a freeing thing, because many, 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 many people are different in front of their boss versus their colleagues versus their friends versus their parents versus their significant other versus their in-laws. Like, Tim Anderson has the gift of being himself and being comfortable with himself. And I think that's just an incredible, incredible thing.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that little quote about making a donation to the starting pitcher.
It was funny,
like,
wasn't it?
That sounds like something you'd hear, like, a Hall of Famer say, like, you know, when they're just casually throwing one back, like, at the, you know, right before their speech or whatever, or at a, you know, at a round table. Like, that's just like something that a 15-year veteran would say. Like, the fact that you realize that there's so much failure that comes with the game and you shrug it off so quickly, that's the only way you can go out there and win a batting title, is when you have that mentality. Like, that's the most impressive thing to me. It's like he's still a young guy and he already knows that about our game. Like, okay, yeah, just, you know, it is what it is. Move on to the next day, next pitcher, next at bat, never carrying the previous failures to the next at bat. And you've seen so many Sox prospects and players, like, you know, not be able, maybe they thought they were subscribing to that mentality, but just never able to execute it on the field. So that was awesome to me, hearing him say that.
Well, I was thinking about it too, right? Like, not to bring the Cubs into it, so I apologize, but just high profile stories that we've talked about a lot on the show. Ian Happ, super serious. Albert Almora beats himself up, right, coming up to the booth with Mac and I out of a spring training game when he went 0-for-2 and beating himself up over it. Chris Bryant falling out of love with the game, not loving it the same. I feel like all three of those guys at various levels and varying degrees could really benefit from that Tim Anderson mentality. And I get it. Easier said than done. High profile, high stress, a lot of money, the spotlight, everything that goes with it. But that mentality that Tim Anderson has, you can't convince me that that does not correlate to how great he is, and that a lot of baseball players, if they could adopt it, would benefit from it tremendously. I'll tell you something that I was told from a professional, speaking of trying to know yourself, and kind of blew me away, to be honest. It's next on The Score.
Jeez. She fell funny. Francis, you really should see somebody.
Yeah. We all should see somebody, frankly. I won't tell you to get into NBA Top Shot. I haven't spent a dollar in it. But I will say that I think a little bit of talk therapy could can do everybody some good. I am I'm a believer in it. I don't think I'm, like, cured or anything like that, but it helps. And especially when you sometimes feel like you got the weight of the world on you, or you got a lot of heavy things going on, and you just want to process in a somewhat judgment-free zone. You want to be challenged, but not be judged. And it's one of the things that I get out of therapy. And I wanted to just ask you, because, Tanny, you've done some therapy, right, in your day? Yes?
Every day, 2 to 6, am I right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes.
I see my therapist every other week. Shane, you're in therapy as well, yes?
Every Friday morning.
Every Friday morning, so you're weekly. I think I might need to go to weekly, to be honest with you. But so I'm every other week. And I had to move it from Monday to Tuesday. And so this past Tuesday, I was supposed to have therapy 3 days ago. And I did it at 7 o'clock at night. And I got an email as we were signing off the show at like 5:54, 5:55. That came in from my therapist, and it said, Danny, I have to reschedule. Let's do next Monday. Is that okay? I apologize for the late notice. I was like, oh, man, okay. Like, yeah, what am I going to say? No? Like, she says she's got to reschedule. Apologize for the late notice. All right, fine. So I respond back via email. I say, no problem. Next Monday at 7 works. Thank you. I hope everything's okay. was a therapist canceling last minute. Like, I think maybe something's happened. She responds, yup, everything's fine. It's just been a day. And that was it. It's just been a day. I don't mean to be insensitive, because when I told this to Steph, she was immediately like, well, that's amazing. Therapy's about setting boundaries, and she had a tough day, and she knew she wasn't going to be able to be present for you, and so she didn't want it to be not productive for either of you. So she just, you know, she pulled the ripcord early, and that's good. You'll have a better, more attentive, present session next Monday. But am I not owed a little bit more of an explanation than it's been a day? Because with all due respect, and I don't understand it fully, I fully admit that, isn't that kind of their job? To like, wouldn't every day of a therapist be a day of just hearing about everybody's problems and struggles and all of that? And like, I would imagine that'd be very draining. And then you gotta like, it's kind of like what you do, right?
That's your job, to not have a day so you can listen to somebody else's a day.
I thought so. I'm not mad. I would never change therapists over this. Like, I had to change therapists a couple of times. It's agonizing to like go over everything and start from square one and give all the backstory and all of that stuff. But I feel like the next session on Monday has to kind of start with, so it's been a day? Like, it's been a day. I feel like I'm owed a little bit more of an explanation. Am I not?
I'd argue that maybe the next session should begin with you learning about a little compassion, a little empathy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think they've covered that yet in your therapy. You know, understanding what someone else is going through and being important. You know, I think maybe that's at the root of your problems. Maybe we can iron it out right here.
Okay.
And you won't even have to do that next session and save you some money.
So your therapist cancels on you last minute, and the explanation is it's been a day. And you're just like, okay, cool.
I get anxiety about therapy. Like, I over the weekend, I'm like, what am I going to talk about in therapy? Like, I think about it nonstop. That's why, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Right. Why you're in therapy. Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't mind that. But also, like, there is some truth to what Steph said. Like, they have to be the best version of themselves to help you. You know, with the help that you need. So
right.
I get that part of it, you know, but I think a better explanation probably would have been in order, you know, not just it's been a day. That just sounds like, you know what, I'm going to shut the laptop off. No Zoom, no more Zooms today. We've had people say that around here. You know, that's just something you just say anecdotally. It's been a day.
Yeah, that listen,
but also, you know, therapists shouldn't have to explain, maybe. Maybe that's part of it too.
Yeah. Fake it. Lie. Say my dad died.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't want her to lie. And again, I really like my therapist. I'm not mad about it. I'm just surprised at the cavalier nature of the explanation for canceling a session 1 hour before we were supposed to have a session. And I got to be honest, like I kind of needed therapy. It was the day after I had found out that Teresa died. So it was actually, so it's been a couple of weeks now since it was. So he had died. No, that's incorrect. He died the day after our last session, and we do it every 2 weeks. So it had been like 15 or 16 days since his passing, and I really wanted to talk about the first person who I was close with who died in their 30s and like processing it and all of that stuff. And like I had really been looking forward to that session. And again, she can have a day. It's totally fine. But it was a weird explanation for a therapist to say to their patient. And I wonder, I'm just genuinely curious how to handle it. Do we address it? Do we address that it's been a day the next time we talk? I think we do.
Therapist should.
Therapist should, right?
Right out of the gate, yeah.
Right out of the gate. I apologize
for
canceling.
That's your lead. That's your 2 o'clock lead.
That's the lead. Tanny's open hits. Romo and Nance go, here we go. And then it's everything okay? Everything okay from that day? Because it felt like it was like, I just want to crack the bottle of wine a little bit earlier. And I would have preferred her to crack the bottle of wine during the session, personally. Because I wasn't even asking. I just said, I hope everything's okay. I just hope everything's okay. She could have said, yep, everything's fine. And it could have been over. But it's been a day. It's been a day. I've been thinking about it's been a day for 72 hours. What does it's been a day mean? And I don't know. Therapy is just, it's always weird. Like, you know, so they know so much about you, you know nothing about them, and I know that's by design, and it's absolutely for the best. But it's just like, oh, now I feel like I've got a little insight. I want to kind of help out. And someone says, okay, Larry David, that's true. That is, it's definitely a curb feeling. But I think it's just the combination of the cavalier excuse and the late cancellation that makes me want to know more. And I needed the session.
Did you pull a What About Bob and show up at her lake house?
No. No. There's been, that's the thing, too. I've never met this person in person. We became therapist-patient in the era of Zoom and COVID. So I've, yeah. I've had two therapists leave for maternity leave and then not return to work.
Are they getting pregnant to avoid you?
It's possible.
And do you float away from your mic on her, too, or is that just us?
Oh, that's how you know you really got him. It is a laugh. We have it within our resources to get Jeff Garland on and pitch this for a Curb storyline. If it's not too late, I'm assuming they haven't been filming yet, it's probably not too late to slide that in as a side story in an episode.
Yeah.
That is perfect. That is a perfect Curb thing, like you said.
Right?
We need to get Jeff on and pitch that. And see if we can run up the ladder to Larry.
I agree it is a perfect Curb pitch, and I agree that I have some Larry David tendencies of anxiety, but it's been a day. It's been sitting with me for like an unbelievable, I just keep thinking, like, I hope she's okay. Like, does she need me to be her therapist? I think I'd be good at it. I got takes. I got opinions. I got insights. I'm an active listener. So I don't know. It's been a day. I didn't tell you guys, by the way. Therese's funeral was yesterday. Finally, here's the homecoming celebration of life. Whew, what a life. The Pro Football Hall of Fame, the National Association of Black Journalists, the mayor of Detroit, the Kansas City Chiefs, and then a bunch of Howard University and a bunch of other places all sent like statements to be read at his funeral. It was pretty remarkable. 37 years old, youngest voter for the Pro Football Hall of Fame selection committee, tremendous philanthropist, and a hell of a guy. And I've talked about it before, but like when a musician or an actor dies or something like that, and then you learn all about them after their death through all of the stories and other people's anecdotes about them, even if you knew a lot about them, you still learn about it, right? It was weird, like learning about your friend at his Zoom funeral. And man, the ability to like talk about it as a celebration and a positive for like a life well lived. I don't know. I'm certainly not there. This will be a topic on therapy. Once we get past it's been a day, how do you look at something like that, a 37-year-old dying in their sleep, height of their life, as a positive? I don't know. I'm clearly, because I didn't have a session now and going on 3 weeks, I'm using the show as therapy. So I hope that's okay.
It's fine.
Yeah, all right, yeah. But I was like, I'm not there yet. I'm looking at it as any sort of positive.
You ever think about going up to Cottage?
It's a good idea. I should take up fishing. I hear Canada's lovely all times of year. You know what would make me happy? The Bears having a quarterback. What it'll take next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.